This is Maria Buyukos.
And this is Zachary Richard Hill.
And you're listening to Creative Honey. Hey guys, welcome back to Creative Honey. It's Maria and Zach here.
Hey friends.
So we're going to be discussing something that intimidates a lot of creatives, and that is the business side of being a creative.
Yeah, it's scary, business and stuff.
Hearing that word might throw you into a fit of anxiety or keep you up at night. But honestly, balancing your creativity with your business potential is very important so that you're not a starving artist.
And I think one of the things we want to kind of help you with as part of this podcast today is just kind of get you out of the starving artist mindset and kind of get you into the mindset of thinking like a entrepreneur, because I think a successful artist or a creative person should be kind of thinking about that. So those are some of the topics we're going to go over today, and after this little break we'll dive into it. So on with the show.
Here we go.
So yeah, here we are. We're talking about, you know, the business of creativity, starting your own brand, being your own business. And I know some other people have talked about this before and other podcasts, articles, whatever, but I think it's really important. And that's why we want to kind of take our shot at it. Because I think every artist, creative entrepreneur, professional person should go out there and build their own business, build their brand in a certain way, not like in a, you know, like a Uber startup sense, but just like, just think of yourself as a business, right?
Yeah, definitely. In order to compete in today's creative market, you do have to have a handle on some of your business stuff. And back in the day, you know, many artists and creatives were, you know, they didn't become famous till after they died, and they died in poverty. And we don't have to do that anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think what Maria is talking about is the starving artist myth. Yeah. And you know, as artists, we probably took art history classes, or we read about design history, art history, photographers back in the day, and you know, the whole, we kind of glorified and mystified this idea of like torture and, you know, starvation and isolation. And that's like supposed to be the life of the artist.
Not to mention obscurity.
Oh, yeah. And I know that I kind of had that phase where I was like, oh, worshiping the, you know, the abstract expressionists and how they isolated themselves and they were starving and struggling. They didn't have the internet, though. Yeah. And, you know, they didn't have social media. And because of that, I think the starving artist thing is going to get you nowhere. And I think it has always been that way, but I think it's especially that way now. It's a myth. You don't have to be a starving artist. And in fact, you should definitely not be isolating yourself in your studio, just focusing on making things all day. As much as we'd like to, I would love to ask Maria.
Yeah,
I would love to just like sit there and just make all day. But that's not, you know, that's only one component of running a successful creative business.
And now, you know, it's easier said than done a lot of the times, but we've been through it ourselves and we're continuously learning and growing.
Right.
And it's a process. It really is. And when you go to school for whatever creative field you're in, or trade school or anything, they don't necessarily teach you how to run your business and all the things you really need to know to compete out there.
Well, I think one of the problems that, you know, art school is, or any kind of school really, is still kind of facing, or still having trouble to get around, is the fact that, you know, they don't want us to see art as a business or creativity as being part of a business. We don't get taught that way by the art professors or the creative professors in general, right? I mean, we're just focusing on building the craft of what we do, which is, of course, vitally, extremely important, you know, but there's a whole other side to being a successful creative that goes towards, you know, brand building, lifestyle building, and business building.
Amen. And it's one of those things that is, it feels like it conflicts with our hearts as creatives, because we want to just follow our passion, and we should, but there's no reason why you can't also make money off your passion as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. And we just, I think there's a misconception that if we just make the work, people are, you know, going to just come to us. You know, we have to, you know, I use this metaphor a lot with Maria, kind of like the moth and the flame. We have to create the flame for the moth to come to us, you know, or we're going to be moths. I don't know if what's the plural of that.
Moth eyes.
Moth eyes. We're going to be little moth eyes running around. Yeah, we're super.
Now they're running too.
Yeah, they're running. They're flying moths. Eyes. But anyway, I digress. We're going to be chasing attention, but what we should be doing is creating a profile and a business and a strategy that's going to attract potential clients or consumers of our work.
Definitely. And the first step is really knowing who you are as a creative. What could you sell as a creative? What's your identity? And that's going into creating a brand that's compelling, and being true to who you are will help you really create that brand that reaches to people. And
that word authentic comes to mind.
I know. I was trying really hard not to say it. I don't know if you noticed, but there it is, guys.
I'm sorry. I ruined that.
Hashtag authentic. Okay. So building the brand that's compelling is the first step in getting your potential audience primed to know who you are. So that's really important, and there's really no excuse not to have a brand nowadays. And we've talked about this many times.
Everyone, your mom has a personal brand now. Your dad has a personal brand. Anyone that has a social media or internet presence has a personal brand now. So why not us as creatives?
Honestly, I follow cats on Instagram.
Cats, they have a brand.
And it's true. Great. And I want to follow them.
So right. Yeah, absolutely. So the point is that if everyone is having a personal brand now, why not take advantage and take it a step further as a modern day creative yourself? You know, so there's a lot of ways that you could approach that. I think one thing you could do right off the bat, and I know it's a little off topic, but start, you know, really curating your social media feed and, you know, make it mostly your art or mostly your voice, you know, not just, you know, pictures of your food. And
unless that's what your creative endeavor is.
Obviously, if you're like a chef, that totally makes sense. But, you know, just my point is, just think about how you're constantly presenting yourself. And I put a lot of stuff out there if you follow me on social media, but I'll admit lately, I've been kind of trying to find myself a little bit as a designer and a maker. And so I think my Instagram and my Dribbble kind of reflects that a little bit. It's been a little unfocused lately. And I think I'm finally starting to rein myself back in. But at least it reflected who I really was. And I tried to still make it consistent to that, I guess. So I would suggest doing at least that. Just represent yourself professionally on the social media and the interwebs.
Definitely. And here's the other thing too. If you were to look at some of the like hottest upcoming agencies, like we live in LA, so let's say in LA, I've noticed that not all of them have necessarily work on their sites. Like, it's more about the brand, you know, and they're still able to get work, and it's because it's compelling enough to show the potential customer that that's something that they want as well.
Yeah, no, exactly. It kind of creates a FOMO, you know, fear of missing out mentality, or really simply like, I like what you do for yourself. Can you do that for me and I'll pay you for it?
Yeah, right? it's like, even though like they may have worked with some really great clients, for some reason I'm noticing that, but there's not always like, they don't literally always show the work on the awesome site that they make for their small studio or agency or you know, individual site.
Well, I think another thing that they do, which is kind of going back to what we were just talking about, is that they like leave their studio. Yeah. They leave their work environment and they go and meet people and they connect super with people. Important. I know we're talking a lot about internet and getting out there social media wise, but what about, you know, meeting people face to face? Yes, going to networking events, but just going out there to the community, to farmers markets, to museums, to galleries, to whatever, you know, you could think of, local restaurants, shops, just saying, hey, I do this kind of work where I think I could help you out. You know, just let me know if there's something I could do, you know, to help your business grow. You know, you get to look at yourself as if you have tools and abilities and skills that not everyone has, and that you have value as a result. And you have to just learn how you could, profit off that value, and how you could use that value to help others.
Yeah, that's super important, because as a creative, part of your brand is like who you are as a person. And when you give yourself the opportunity to get out there in the world and meet people, you're building a trust. Like, there's nothing, I mean, you can scroll on Instagram all day and see a bunch of creatives work, but there's nothing like meeting the person, giving a face and a name and, you know, that personality to your work as well. And it makes people feel a little more trusting towards you. And they're more likely to refer something to you or work with you even.
Yeah, exactly. Like, one of my goals in 2017 is to attend at least one creative conference, whether that's AIGA or Creative South or Weapons of Mass Creation. That's just a few off the top of my head I can think of. I'm going to one of those in 2017. So, I mean, I cannot recommend enough to do things like that. Get out there, meet people.
It's really hard sometimes as creatives. I think there are quite a few of us who are more introverted. And as you know, Zach and I are a little introverted when it comes to,
yes,
to getting out there. And it doesn't sound like we're introverted, but like when going into a room with people you don't know is intimidating for most people. But I will say, Zach and I have made a really big effort to get out there more in our community. And I have to say, it gets easier every time.
Absolutely, it does. I mean, it was really weird. We were at a General Assembly event, and like 3 months ago, we would have been just like drinking a beer in the corner and watching everyone.
Super awkward, yeah.
And then like this time, we were like talking to people, playing, you know, giant Jenga and
bear pong.
Yeah, we were playing, like, we were just like out there just talking to people, and we met some really fun people. I don't know if it's gonna necessarily like turn into work, but I know there's no chance of us turning anything into work if we're always just in the corner sipping beers and not talking to anybody.
So true. And you're building an association. That's what you're doing. You're building a trust. And so even though right away your first networking event or whatever, you don't get anything, if you go to another one, people tend to kind of hang out in circles. So like, LA is one of those places that feels, it's big, but it feels small at the same time, because people in our industry tend to travel in the same circles. So you recognize them, they recognize you, you build a rapport, and then they were so comfortable, then you become buddies. And then before you know it, you're all helping each other out.
Yeah, exactly. No, I've been telling Maria the podcasts I listen to and the blogs I read, articles, books. One of the big overarching themes when it comes to advice is to get involved with your local creative community, or get involved with a creative community. There's just so much benefit to that. I know we've been sidetracking a little bit. We want to get back to kind of like building your business and how to have a business as a creative. And, you know, we know like one reason why we became artists and creators in the first place is because we probably are a little scared and anxious of business, and we don't want to do that stuff. You know, we didn't major in business or marketing or anything like that, right? I mean, yeah. So can you speak on that, Maria? I mean, how can we face that anxiety? How can we think of ourselves as business people when we really, most of us wanted to originally kind of avoid a situation like that? And that's why we became artists.
Oh man, I honestly, you know, I feel like me personally, I've always had a sense of business savvy, but I doesn't mean that I like everything about running a business. Like, there's a lot of nitty gritty stuff, like creating contracts and proposals and making sure and negotiating prices. I mean, that stuff is really painful sometimes.
Well, and think about if you're making products, like, yeah, the cost of like producing a print, or, you know, in my case as a graphic designer, like, how much is it going to cost to make a print, or buttons or something like that. Then if it's if you're a photographer, you're making prints of your photos. If you're a musician, you know, you're putting yourself on SoundCloud, or you're making CDs. I know that's kind of old school, but, you know, these are, in other words, there's always a cost to running a business, and you have to evaluate the return on investment you know, you're going to get when you make certain business decisions, but you have to make those decisions.
Yeah. And something to motivate you to do those things, even though they're unpleasant, is to know that just like networking, every time you go out, every time it becomes easier. So with every proposal you write, with every time you do your accounting, like it becomes easier and more natural, and then it just kind of integrates with your life. And that's, you know, it's just like learning anything, really. Over time you become more comfortable with it, and so just know that the payoff for doing those things is going to be so much greater than the stress that it causes you initially endeavoring to do them.
It's considered part of your work, part of your quote-unquote practice. Like, not to go off on too much of a tangent, but I like how a lot of designers, artists, creatives call it a practice, because it's like, yeah, it's literally like, you know, your craft, your practice, your trade, you know, this is how you make a living in this world, right? So just consider, you know, doing the books, you know, investing some stuff financially, or investing in some things financially, and, you know, worrying about taxes and contracts. And it's like, you know, it's not maybe the most fun part of work, but it, you know, like Maria said, it just becomes a natural part of your, you know, daily, weekly, monthly productivity cycle, for sure.
Yeah, plus, like, you create assets for your business as well. Like, you're going to create your templates for your proposals. You're going to, like, all that stuff. It takes a little setup time, but then after a while, then you're just, you know, modifying them in a, you know, just customizing the content. You don't have to redo it every time.
Right.
So that helps with the workflow too. So you develop your momentum, and it does take some time. So be patient. And yeah, so there's some creatives that we really admire that do really well. I know, Zach, you were just talking the other day about one.
Well, this kind of leads to another major point we wanted to discuss as part of this topic, which is being a creative entrepreneur, in a sense where you don't have to just do one thing. Like back in the, you know, the early times of, you know, creativity. I mean, not like the Renaissance, but like, well, even back then, like if you were a painter, you painted. If you were a sculptor, you sculpted, you know. Well, actually, it wasn't so true in the Renaissance. I'm actually kind of throwing my art history off, but
yeah,
my point is, I'm kind of getting all over the place, is like, you don't, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever, an illustrator had to just be an illustrator. Designer was just a designer. Photographer was just a photographer. If you painted, you just painted. You don't have to do that anymore. I think now more than ever. You know what I mean? Like, you don't, like, for me, I don't, like, I consider myself a graphic designer first, but I want to make prints. I want to paint. I want to do posters. I want to do illustrations. You know, I don't want to limit myself to certain things. And like, I bring up creative entrepreneur because, like, there's one of my favorite artists that really kind of, it was an early influence for me, was Mike Perry. He's a, you know, modern day creator. He did the Broad City, like, typography for the opening part of that show, if you guys watch that show. And he kind of, I like him, and like another person is Kate Morose. Is like, they have this, both of them have this mentality where, oh yeah, I'm going to, you know, start a painting in the morning, and then I'll do an illustrator, or I'll work on an illustration and then a logo in the afternoon, and then I'll work on, you know, my line of products in the evening, kind of thing, you know. So be open-minded. You don't have to just be a painter. If that's your main thing is painting, that's okay. Or if your main thing is photography, that's okay, but you can branch out. I mean, specializing and having a main thing to do is good. Yeah, you know, for me, like I said, graphic design's my main thing, but I'm interested in making all kinds of things.
Yeah, and that's also super cool about what time we're in now, is that it is becoming more, I guess, popular to be more of a multidisciplinary creative, and I'm a big fan of that as well. And as creatives, like, we have so many ideas about things, and so if you can make money off of more than one trade, why not, you know? I mean, you do have to, I think you use a term like, you know, or we have to focus and make sure that we follow through with all those endeavors. But still, like, that creates more of income, you know. And we were talking about earlier about creating passive income.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is one of the most important things we can bring up, is passive income. I think you need to set that up. And what we mean by that is that you're looking to maybe have a 9-to-5 or freelance, or running your own studio, and that's going to maybe make, even let's say, 70% of your income, maybe less, maybe more, you know, maybe somewhere in between 40 to 70%. You know, if you really want to kind of step it up financially for yourself, I would say create at least another 20 to 30% of passive income, of extra income. And what we mean by that, for example, it could be so many things, actually, is I'll just give you a few examples. Selling prints online. That's something I really want to step up, you know, the next few months of this year. You know, I want to teach one day. You know, Marie and I have talked about that, teaching, you know, part-time at a junior college or a university or an art school. I know, I mean, obviously, that's the most obvious one. I think so many creatives, like, look to do that at some point. But that's obviously a great way. Consulting, you know, creative coaching, business coaching, writing. Writing's a great way to make passive income. What other things have you got?
Yeah, you can create products as well, like, that are relatively inexpensive to produce, like buttons and stickers, like little things like that. And it also propagates your brand.
Absolutely.
So it's a nice little double benefit there. And I mean, really, I think consulting is, like you were saying, is a really good way, because you don't always necessarily have to make something for someone, but just your knowledge is valuable. And I think as creatives, like, sometimes we undervalue ourselves and we're used to people undervaluing us, but really, truly, like, what we're getting paid for is our brains, you know, like, yes, our thought yes. process. And
well, ironically, this is to that note, there's some irony there in the sense where creativity, especially in higher level business, has never been more valued, really, to be honest. It's like everyone wants their businesses to be ran in a creative way. In a kind of outside the box, in a way, it's like the term UX, user experience, is being used for the entire business, not just like app design or web design. It's what is the user experience? What is the creativity level of the entire business? I think we've talked about this before. I think smaller and mid-sized businesses are a little behind, but they will catch on as well. You know, so I think Maria brings up a great point. Like, yes, especially for artists, for purely graphic designers, for illustrators, for photographers, there's an end tangible result to our creativity. But I think a big part of what we should be selling is our actual creativity that goes beyond the finished project, is how we think, you know, how that's a big part. That's very valuable. It's a big part of our value. So consulting anyone from other artists to a business is a great way to create some passive income for yourself, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I do see a lot of creatives taking advantage of that. And just know that you are valuable. You have a lot to offer. Not everybody is a creative or thinks as dynamically as you. So definitely sell that as a product.
You know, to be honest, this just made me realize, like, Creative Honey, what you're listening to right now, is we hope to eventually be some kind of a, even if it's a small level of passive income, to have to be a passive income resource for us.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, I don't, it might be nothing, it might never turn into where we make most of our money, but if we can make, like I said, like 10%. We make a little bit of money every single month from this, you know, it could become another source of passive income for us.
Yeah. You know, Zach, you bring up a really good point. A Creative Honey is a passion project and we just love it. We love, helping other people. We love meeting other people, and Creative Honey gives us the opportunity to do everything that you should be doing as a creative, you know, and we've just recently expanded our offering as well, and we just launched our blog, and you know, we have more content coming at you now. We've got posts, more interviews. I mean, we're really expanding this very quickly.
Yeah, and we're excited about it, but it may honestly never make a dime, right? But what we are trying to do leads me to kind of, like, you know, building up on this point, is diversifying.
Yes.
So it's like passive income is part of the overall picture of diversifying your income stream. You know, I know, like, the Sean McCabe or Sean West has talked about this. Andy Miller has talked about this. But, you know, it cannot be said enough, where if you're looking just to make money off of just your painting or just your graphic design, it's not impossible, but it's going to be harder. and you're going to generally probably struggle a little bit more, rather than, you know, there's two options. Option A, which is, you know, I'm just trying to make money off of paintings, or option B, I'm going to sell my paintings, teach a painting class, sell prints of my painting, and consult other painters on how to, you know, become better painters, create a newsletter, and write about painting. So now I'm starting to diversify if I was a painter. So that's just an example. You know, just diversify.
And check that out. Everything you just said, every single thing, like, he's theoretically telling, you know, suggesting for you guys to do, is reinforcing your brand, your expertise, your work, your brand, your expertise, your work. And that's really, really important, because maybe you didn't think at first you were going to consult, but now that you've reinforced your brand in so many other outlets, people start coming to you, and you naturally see that people gravitate towards you and they look up to you. Definitely segue into, you know, creating an area where you're consulting. So that's all it is. You know, we're doing that with Creative Honey and other projects that we're doing. So come up with your own, you know, version of Creative Honey or whatever, you know.
Well, there's a good point. I think there's an infinite number of ways to, you know, create incomes for yourself. The world is craving content. I was telling Maria this the other day, where, you know, we used to be a manufacturing nation, and I'm glad some of that's coming back, of course. That's really important. But now I think this is more of a content creation, you know, nation, in the sense where we have this internet, we have this social media. It needs content constantly. Go be a content creator. And who better to create content than artists? Than creatives.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? There's non-creatives out there creating valuable content. Like, everyone loves Gary Vaynerchuk. I wouldn't call him, like, a creative professional. He's not an artist. I think he's creative, but I don't think he's, quote-unquote, an artist, if that makes sense. And he's one of the most valuable content creators out there right now.
Yeah.
So if he can do it, you know, why can't creatives do it? You know, create content that's so valuable right now.
Definitely. And so, I mean, really, the sky is the limit when you're in the creative field. I mean, just think of the power your mind has to come up with possibilities that other people miss. You know, harness that and use that to make a nice living for yourself, you know, and you're contributing to the world. You're adding, you're bringing variety, and you're bringing excitement, and you're moving people. So, I mean, It's good to be creative, and it has its ups and downs. I mean, me and Zach are still trying to, you know, get our stuff
squared away. The struggle is real.
It really is. I mean, we have, you know, we're side hustling on side hustling, basically. And so, but we're there with you in the trenches, and we're learning a few things as we go along, and we just want to kind of give that to you guys as well. I mean, because we're all in it together, really, at the end of the day. The creative community should be a tight one, and we should all help each other out and reinforce each other and all that.
Yeah, for sure. So as we kind of get close to, you know, the end here, what are some tips to just kind of get started? I mean, for me, it's something as simple as just start curating your social media feed. That's like one thing you could do, like, today. I know this sounds silly. I used to be the one, like, hating on MySpace when I was in high school. You know, if you know what MySpace is, then you're as old as me, which is cool. But my point is that, like, I used to hate social media. Now you have to embrace it. I embrace it, and I run with it. And my social media used to be all over the place. And now, because I'm starting to curate it and it's becoming consistent, now I'm starting to gain some followers and some support that I might be able to turn eventually into a form of passive income by offering products or offering value or consultancy, you know, to my followers on Instagram, you know, so, or Twitter or Dribbble, you know. So those are just, you know, some things to think about just right now. That's one thing you can do right now. What else, Maria, what else can they do?
Create your business assets. Even if you don't have anything coming in yet, what I would do is create a proposal template, create a contract template. Those are really important things that creatives often overlook, and those can actually really protect you, especially with bigger clients. So have enough respect for yourself to get a down payment when you're working with people. These are little things that intimidate us, and honestly, like, it's not easy, you know, for us to do this, but it really will help you establish yourself as a respectable business. And respect is honestly really important, because you don't want to be another creator that's getting taken advantage of. So having your stuff in line makes you look really legit and makes you look like you really care about your business and that no one can pull the wool over your eyes. It gives you a sense of pride as well. So I would start to get all those in order to prepare yourself for when you do get that work.
Yeah, sounds great. I think that's, it's a perfect way to wrap up, in the sense where I don't forget the little nitty gritty things that is really important to building a business. But you can do it.
Yeah,
you're talented. You're hardworking. All you gotta do is just think bigger. Think of yourself as bigger than you are. We all have. Seth Godin, I think, brings up a great point. We all own our own media company now.
Yeah,
through social media and through the internet. So take advantage of it. Produce media and content that will create value for others, and in turn it'll start creating value for yourself. So on that note, we're really stoked. Maria kind of mentioned it already. We finally have the website. Like, we've talked about the website forever, and it's finally here, creativehoney.org. We just got it started. We have some articles, some things that we like on there, a couple of the podcasts that we've done, and we just want to kind of use it as a tool to create community. We're based out of LA, so you'll see a lot of LA stuff, but we eventually want to branch out nationwide and worldwide and just talk to creatives and talk about creativity and give the podcast a home.
Yeah.
Right.
It's really nice to have a little home for us now. We have interviews on there. We already launched one very small episode with Peter Greco. It's an example of some others that we have to come. They're very short, like, interview bits that we're doing. So more of those are going to be coming. We have a lineup of people that we're in the process of gathering interviews from. And I mean, it's going to be really good.
And it made me think of something else, that this is an open source thing, mm-hmm. right now, especially, which is, if you have an idea for an article or a podcast or a feature that we should have on the website or the podcast, please email us.
And we now have a more official email. It's hello@creativehoney.org.
Yeah. So please say hello to us. Give us some ideas for topics. We want to hear from you. Like, we want this to be really community based, you know, like, for example, we want to interview people of all kinds of notoriety or lack thereof, you know, like, we're totally happy to talk to artists and creatives that are unknown or just out of school, just getting started, even still in school. Cause we want to just hear, with a lot of other blogs and podcasts, and I like all those. I obsess about them, but I think they show the high sides and the fun parts of creativity, and we just want to show all of it, you know, and the good and the bad. So, you know, just reach out to us, and we love to hear from you.
Yeah, all perspectives are important to us. You know, a lot of times you really only hear about the really successful creatives, but, you know, it feels nice sometimes to know there's other people doing exactly what you're doing, trying to make their way up and hearing how they're doing it. So yes, we would love suggestions.
Yeah. There's people trying to climb the mountain. There's people that have made it to the top of the mountain, trying to get on top of a new mountain. So we're all at different levels, and we want to hear from all of you.
Yeah.
On a similar note, please, you know, find us on iTunes and give us a positive review. That helps spread, you know, the notoriety of the podcast, I guess, or just get it out there for more listeners. And the more support we could get, the more we'll be able to do it, the more we could grow this. You know, so we want to turn this into something where we could eventually start supporting like art charities and creative charities and, you know, create events and community gathering situations, I guess. So, you know, if we get more support for the podcast, I think we could start doing some of those things.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, we're really excited about all the stuff we've got brewing, and we have tried to make the podcast more accessible. So we are now on SoundCloud under Creative Honey. We are also we also post the episodes on our blog as well. It's just right there. You can sort by topic. So yeah, we just put them all on there. We also we also have an Instagram now. It's at Creative Honey, and you can find us on Twitter.
Yeah, find us on the social medias.
On these, yeah, Facebook as well. We're there.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, we're just trying to make it really a little more accessible. So overall, you can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and the blog for actually physically listening to the episodes. And cool. Yeah, if you like it, feel free to give us a review and any suggestions, like we were saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Hopefully, this helped you think about, you know, the business of creativity a little bit more and how you could build your brand and your business and start, you know, making it happen for yourself. So yeah, until next episode, thanks for listening and see you later.
See you later.